Hi, I'm Leah.
I'm Kat.
And I'm Dina.
And this is Sarah Latta's story.
Sarah Latta, a 21-year-old from Palmer, Alaska, a type 1 diabetic and a COVID survivor.
Ah, yes, Sarah. I grew up with her. A lot could be said to describe this girl. She's bright, eccentric. She knows what she likes. The color purple, piano, knitting, cupcakes, but most of all, ballet. She's currently a professional ballet dancer with the Georgia Ballet as a company apprentice in Marietta, Georgia, and she also had 2 years at the Nashville Ballet in Tennessee as a pre-professional dancer.
In Leah's interview with Sarah, they discussed how she is used to health being the center of her life. At age 7, she survived a complete renal failure and was close to death. By age 13, she was diagnosed with diabetes, and already being a pre-professional ballet dancer, she soon had to adapt to pricking her finger in class and eating marshmallows to have a pump and cord that trailed her perfectly placed arms into a little pocket under her leotard. Teachers were always impressed by her strength and grace, and thus constantly gave Sarah a little time out if she needed to sit down during a class.
Sarah's normal was different than most. Also having other smaller health conditions on top of all of this, like scoliosis, she was always visiting a doctor, sometimes more than once a week. When COVID first reared its ugly head, the ballet continued, but they encouraged her to stay at home until things blew over. One time, she recalls, they stood outside the door waiting for me to drive away from the studio because they wouldn't let me in. She caught just a cold right before everything shut down and she returned to Alaska. Or so she thought.
Sarah was soon sleeping close to 22 to 23 hours a day, unable to leave her bed. Her family members, concerned, especially her mom, would stand far back in Sarah's room, encouraging her to eat and drink the few moments she was awake. She got COVID April 10th, and this persisted for a month and a half, this sleeping behavior constantly. She had multiple COVID tests, however, and they all returned negatives. But her doctors were convinced she had COVID, and the antibody tests later showed that she indeed have the virus.
Sarah describes the cough that racked her chest as dry. I quote her text, "It felt deep, if that makes sense. Very dry. I never coughed anything up. It hurt a bit, too. I lost my voice for a chunk of it, but eventually that came back. It felt like it was coming from low in my chest, and as long as I was speaking or breathing, I was coughing. There just didn't seem to be any way to avoid it. A nebulizer helped to slow it down, but that was just temporary and wore off quickly." After virtual appointments, she came in for a lung x-ray and determined that it was bronchial pneumonia. Steroid increased her diabetes symptoms, blood sugar spikes, and she could barely eat the entire week without her blood sugar spiking all the way to 400. But it cut her cough more than in half. The antibiotics helped a lot.
By June, Sarah was able to be awake for a couple hours at a time, eating food, walking down the stairs. Her father, a pilot, would text her incessantly on every single one of his trips. Her mother would stand in the corner of her bedroom, watching, making sure that she was okay every time she fell asleep. Sarah continued with the migraines, the sleepiness and fatigue, body aches, and her cough. She only imagines the anxiety that her debilitating symptoms put her parents through.
My mom would come in sometimes, like usually a couple times a day, and she'd wear her mask and sit on the other side of the room, and if I left my room, I would wear my mask, and but just having them around was really helpful for me, because otherwise it was just me and like the nothing. And I really appreciated it, like when they'd come visit, because I was like, "Are you coming to see me?" Because otherwise I had nothing to look forward to in the day, because it was like I wake up, I go back to sleep, and then I wake up and I go back to sleep.
Anxiety has affected both Sarah and her family members because of this. She takes an antidepressant and notes that there are studies with people with type 1 diabetes having depression because of their frequent blood sugar drops, but also even the ruminating fear of passing away in one's sleep.
Sarah also recalls about a month ago when she got strep throat. Her throat hurt, her fever returned, and she got incredibly weak for a week or so. She was so afraid, in full-on panic mode, she says, out of fear that she would go back to a month's recovery time or more. She was afraid that all of her symptoms would come back. Fast forward months and months, and Sarah's now in Marietta, Georgia, at the ballet. Since she cannot dance, she watches them practice in a social distant form. She hangs out with her sister, who's attending college nearby, on her good days. She still sleeps early, around 7 p.m., wakes up late. She still grabs a late afternoon nap. And she spends her bad days, which include a migraine, body aches, pain, curled up on the couch. They last 3 to 4 days at a time.
Sarah has found ways to create a new normal for herself. Because of her past history with the disease, she was never afraid, and her incredibly supportive and caring mother were never afraid to ask the tough questions and to go at length describing symptoms to ask for help. Unfortunately, because of how new COVID was, so many doctors in Alaska had no idea what they were dealing with. They guessed and pondered and questioned, all while Sarah's multiple COVID tests came back negative. They prescribed and harped, leaving Sarah to figure out how each drug would affect her chronic type 1 diabetes. Sarah recalls her mom always talking to her endocrinologist, discussing Sarah's blood sugar and how it spiked and what they could do about it, especially when Sarah was fast asleep and could not eat.
Sarah's new normal incorporated an at-home community care system.
I'm in two online groups. One of them is for COVID-ness, and one of them is for type 1. So they're very different. It's very interesting. My COVID support group is one I'm actually really happy I'm in, because one of the things I've had a hard time with is it seems like so many people don't understand what I'm saying when I'm talking about the fact that I still have these symptoms. But I'm not contagious and I'm not sick anymore. I just can't get over it. And you tell people this and a lot of them automatically like, you know, take a step back. And they're like, you stay over there, I'll stay over here, because they don't want to get it. But it's like, I haven't been sick since June. I'm not contagious anymore. I just can't get rid of this headache, or I still have to sleep a lot, or things like that. And so many people in this group are in the exact same boat with the same kind of symptoms and these same things that they can't seem to shake. And they're going to their doctors, trying different things and seeing what they can do to help. And then people will go in and post about, I did this today and it really seemed to help. Maybe you should try it too. And, you know, everybody's like sharing what's worked for them and what hasn't worked for them. And so I've really liked being in that one, because there's things in there I've tried and been like, nope, that hasn't done any good. And then there's things that I've tried and it's like, hey, that might have made a difference.
Like what?
There was somebody in there that was talking about actually one of the supplements I'm on now. And my mom had mentioned it briefly, but we hadn't looked into it in a while. And then there was someone in there that was talking about, it's probably going to say this really wrong, but I think it's glutathione or glutathione. I'm not totally sure. It's GLUTATHIONE, I think. And there's been a lot of studies recently that show the people with these lingering symptoms are really low in that. They don't have enough of it. And it's something that you can just go buy it. You don't have to get a prescription for it. So a lot of people have kind of taken it upon themselves to go track it down and give it a go. And it seems to give some pretty good results. So that's one of them that I've been trying. And I feel like it does help. Like the days I take it, I definitely feel better than the days I don't.
Sarah's the perfect example of Kunglium's definition of health. She has found such a will to live. And now, in the later stages of her persistent symptoms, Her will to live encompasses reading her Bible sometimes, prayers, a couple pages at a time of some Jane Austen books as to avoid headaches, journaling, praying, having fun with her sister. It's beautiful to see, beautiful to hear her talk with such joy amidst so much pain and misunderstanding. And even though she can't dance, Sarah watches her friends dance. Sarah listens to other people play the piano. She tries to knit in small increments of time as to not give herself induce a migraine. And she's living with such joy. It's so beautiful to see.
Through her Facebook support group for COVID survivors specifically that are experiencing lasting symptoms, Sarah has been able to feel less alone. She's also in constant discussion with others trying different at-home remedies. One that is helping is a supplement, glutathione, which has decreased her fatigue symptoms, helping her have more good days.
I wasn't in a place where I could cheer myself up and I could see any kind of hope on my own. Like, I needed somebody else to help get me there. As far as now, I'm so much better than I was now. You know, it sure be nice to be all the way better, but I'm a whole lot better than I was. And I'm at a point now that, like, when I start to struggle with it again, I can do things like I can read my Bible. That always helps me. You know, I can pray. I can get my little Bible journal out. Things like that have always really helped me. I still can't play my piano very much because of my head. And, like, that's a lot of brain power. But I've taken to finding videos of other people playing the piano, and I enjoy that too. Or, you know, as much as I wish I could dance, I'll watch other people dance, and that's fine. Or I'll turn on a song that I like and I'll come up with some sort of choreography in my brain that who knows if I'll ever do it, but gives me something to think about other than it. And that's always been one of the ways I can get my emotions out. So while I'm not actually moving, to be able to do something like that in my head is kind of a similar way of expression for me.
The pain is still there, but there is also joy and wonderment and a true love for life. And that is where the revolution lies within Sarah.
We can consider her story for patient autonomy and cultural competency in understanding the wide array of her different illnesses and her symptoms combined with what her life is and what it means to be so professionally involved with ballet. All of these conditions, all of these family situations need to be incorporated by doctors when they consider her case. Sarah serves as a very interesting example for how we can see safety and power in numbers and power in being part of a patient community. Because during COVID, as we've all had to experience, there is this very isolating feeling. And Sarah has been able to find solace in Facebook groups of other people struggling with COVID, as well as just watching people dance, which is beyond even being a patient. Sarah serves as a wonderful way to remember that we can find community and health and reassurance and strength through just remembering what we love and remembering why it's so great to be healthy and to have a full life. And while Sarah is rebuilding her health, she's doing so in a way that incorporates all of the three things that we've talked about. In this way, Sarah herself is a small revolution.
The idea that even the smallest things can make a change, even in the smallest ways, like knitting or watching people dance, can help someone generate patient autonomy. Even in the smallest ways, like her endocrinologist who her mom has been on the phone with, like her home community and her family support, have made such a difference in Sarah's health, well-being, and the future of her health and well-being as well. I can only hope for the best with Sarah, and I'm so glad that she's my friend.